Welcome, everybody, to Juwanza for Life. My name is Juwanza. Thank you so much for tuning in. Show's also known as Health, Wealth, and Divine. I am so excited. Do you hear me? I'm excited. I have been waiting for this show, I think, since the last time we'd actually did this show. And it's been a minute since we've done this show. But I know that you all are just as excited as I am, because I can tell by judging from the archives that keep statistics of how many shows you have done, how many people are listening to the shows, what shows they're listening to, how often they've listened in the last week and the last month. And as we've been approaching this show, the numbers have been increasing to the people who have listened to the last show that we did with the same guest on the same topic. So I can tell that you all are just as excited and waiting to hear this as just as much as I am. First, let me thank you for tuning in. To all my new listeners, thank you so much, and thank you so much for the feedback. Well, let's get to why you tuned in today. As you know why you tuned in. But my special guest, for those who are hearing her for the very first time, is Shekem Sa'antuku Nenebu. In case you don't know who she is, let me tell you. She's a chief and a priestess in the Osara Set Society International. Shekem Sa'antuku has been a student of Shekem Shekem Ra'un Nefa Amen since 1978 and is a founding member of the Chicago Osara Set Society, HESP. She has been an Osara Set instructor for nearly four decades, teaching Osarian initiation, meditation, divination systems, astrology, and health. Wow, that's to be doing anything for 40 years. That's a long time. So we are going to get the benefit of sitting at the feet today of someone who has been doing this work for 40 years. And so I am so very thankful, humbled, honored, and appreciative to have her back once again as my special guest. Shekem Sa'antuku Nenebu, thank you so much for agreeing to be my guest today. Welcome back to Juwanza for Life.
And peace and blessings. It's always an honor and a pleasure.
My pleasure. And I know that the listeners are just as excited as I am to be have an opportunity to sit and listen to you again as we talk about a very important topic, probably the most important observance, actually, of the year. And just before we get started, I want the listeners to know, please, don't be shy. If you have a question for Sa'antuku Nenebu, this is Shekem Sa'antuku Nenebu, this is an interactive show, okay? We love to interact with the guests, and we also love to interact with the listeners. So please, don't be shy. You are welcome to ask your questions or make your comments. So all you have to do that is to just press 1, okay? So, again, back to the topic, the preparation. This is the winter solstice preparation for 2017. It is, this observance has got to be probably the most important observance of the year. And we're going to get all into the topic of the winter solstice. But before we do, for those who don't know, again, I mentioned in her bio that she is a chief and a priestess with the Osara Set Society. For those who may not know what the Osara Set Society is, they may have heard of it or may have never heard of it. Could you explain to our listeners what the Osara Set Society is?
Yes, Osara Set Society International is an African spiritual organization, the spiritual science that comes from Dawi, which is referred to as Kemet, also referred to as ancient Egypt, and has been resurrected, the way of life that produced a great harmony of beings who had as their goal the realization of a perfect divinity through study, through community, through practices of breathing and meditation, through family building, and has been established since 1973, so next year we will be celebrating 45 years, and is an international society in that the United Kingdom, Canada, Trinidad and Tobago, South Africa, Ghana, as well as the United States and Bermuda, we have study groups and established HESP in all of those locations.
Well, if you don't mind, it's so important that people understand what the impact of my next question to you is on us as a people, because it seems like the Osiris Society was established with this in mind. But could you talk just briefly before we get into the winter solstice about culture and the importance of adopting a set of values whose aim it is to promote godliness and peace and harmony in his people?
Culture is something that is continuously revivifying itself. We are learning as we grow in our divinity. And I'm very glad you asked, because when we think about the 7+ billion people in the world, what we see is that those people whose cultures have been able to maintain intact and establish in other parts of the world are those people who thrive. And Kemet's culture specifically was one of resurrecting a divine self-identity for the purpose of healing, for the purpose of creativity, for the purpose of harmonizing. And what Kemet was greatest at was establishing and codifying just how to practice it as a spiritual science, not as a belief system, not as a faith-based system, but something where the codification of your being, the faculties of your being, the 11 laws that you could measure, that ma'at, the mathematics, the empirical evidence, could be proven with, that is the mastery of Kemet. And it resulted then in the geometry and the astronomy and the hieroglyphs that more people are familiar with, and the pyramids and the special sciences. But the harmonizing of a culture around a divine self-identification and the steps to take to make certain that you are walking the talk scientifically and empirically is what we've seen unfold in the lives of our modern-day communities amid all of the challenges that are presented in our urban areas.
You know, it's so amazing when I think about ancient Kemet and what they were able to accomplish. I mean, we just see the remnants when we look at the pyramids and the Sphinx, and you know, we read the history of, you know, how the different dynasties and how long the civilization lasted. And you know, you realize when looking at that there really had to be a system, I mean a serious system in place, not just, you know, a couple of principles, but I mean a system that lasted from generation to generation to generation to from dynasty to dynasty. I mean, thousands of years, people coming and going, and with their aim being to become a divine being, and within that identification, being able and tapping into the essence of who they are, being able to tap into and awaken the Tahuti sphere and the different other faculties within their being to be able to accomplish so much. And then when you look at what they were working with, I mean, when we look back in ancient times, oftentimes today we look at them as being primitive, but it's clear that these people had a system that was so far advanced. And I'm just thankful that someone, Shechem HaShechem, Dr. Raon Nefer Amen, has been able to tap into this body of knowledge and to bring back and give back to us that, I won't say that was lost, but that was, for lack of a better term, wasn't available. Well, I don't even want to say not available. It was available, but he was able to tap into it and bring it back and to share it with us. And as a result of that sharing, then we now know that we can achieve higher heights as long as we keep in mind who we are, and that our goal in life is to become divine, and all of these other great accomplishments are just manifestations of that awareness.
And the systems you're speaking about, that we created two essential, the most important initiation systems, which one, as you mentioned, the Osirian initiation system, of which the winter solstice is the most important time of the year, the Osirian initiation system to inculcate into the mind the 11 laws, the 11 faculties of God's being, the 11 faculties of man's being and their function, and then the energy system of the Ra initiation, so that our life force could be utilized to empower those faculties, so that at any point in life when we need to meet life with one of our talents, whether we are born with it activated or latent, we know how to develop it and to meet life's needs and achieve success in every area of life and in all of life's areas, and not just one or two, but so that we could have complete success. So the systems absolutely are what we achieved and were able to codify and study to this day.
So where does the winter solstice fit into all of this? Now, this is a rhetorical question, but for those who might not know, there are people that are listening to this show that are coming to this information at different stages. There are people who may have been on the path for 40 years and there may be, that are listening, and there may be people that just, you know, just found out about this today, you know. So for those who might not know, what is the winter solstice, and how does that fit into the whole divine plan? What is its goal, its aim, its purpose?
Well, when we talk about systems, we can observe nature and see that there are seasons, there are alternations of heat and cold. The solar cycle is an alternation of light and darkness, and the seasons actually revolve around the increase of light beginning at December 25th through June 21st, the days get longer. And then the increase of darkness that starts at June 25th. And so we correspond the increase of light with the yang, the output, the externalizing point of the cycle, which reaches its height near the summer solstice. And then the increase of the yin, which is our inner introspective, contemplative ability to reflect within, that reaches its height at the winter solstice. So when you take into consideration the alternation of light and darkness and the gravitational pull of the planets and the orbits, we also understand that these cyclical phenomena affect different systems in our body. So our hormonal systems, the alternation affect our pineal gland. The output of the pineal gland of the hormone melatonin is greatest during the winter, and it is this that determines the greatest receptivity of our spirit. So we're very, very open at the winter solstice. And we use that time because it's the most powerfully receptive time in our spirit to make changes in our lives. A lot of cultures have their new year or end of year rites during that time. And it's the true beginning and ending of the year, because our subconscious part of our being, which is in charge of carrying things out subconsciously, is most receptive to our determinations, our decisions that we will to achieve. So being receptive, what the observance is that we want to look at how do we make changes for the better, how do we increase our success options each year, with the ultimate goal being to realize our destiny of manifesting our divinity. And so the winter solstice is a time where we spend 4 days, December 21st to the 24th, the majority of the time, if you know, when we're not at work, and preferably we can take those as time off, we reflect on our accomplishments during the year and reflect on those that we wish to achieve in the coming year. We do a lot of meditation, a lot of spiritual power rejuvenating exercises. We do yoga asanas. We do a lot of qigong. We do deep breathing exercises. But again, most of the time is spent on strengthening our divine nature, our identity as a divine being, because we realize that our divine nature is the chief faculty in charge of leading the energy. What our thoughts determine is where our energy will follow. And so we optimize our ability to heal. We optimize our ability to succeed when we spend time focusing on our divine self-identity. And any other time of the year, of course, we manifest changes to a much, much lesser degree. But our spirit follows the cycles of nature because of our correspondence. Our hormonal systems in our body correspond to the vegetative system of Earth. So we definitely are able to go within much more easily. We prepare for the winter solstice by purification and vitalization exercises. At any time before the solstice, we can begin as early as 40 days in advance of the 21st of December, November 11th, and we have preparation online classes so that people who are not in direct physical geographical location to any of our study groups or the HESPU are able to avail themselves of these preparation exercises, which include the rejuvenation diet to purify the body, the yoga, some yoga and qigong asanas and regimen positions, meditation, and the 11 laws, which identify how our divinity unfolds, what faculties we can improve to unfold our divinity. So the deep state of meditation takes some psychic preparation. The purpose of offering the online classes is so that in addition to using meditation that is mainly used in the West just for relaxation, which is a byproduct of it, in Kemet we actually use it to directly reprogram our being. We actually use meditation to heal. We actually use meditation to direct our life force to alter our social environment so that we can improve our relationships. We can improve our finances, our career, our education, our child rearing, our status in the world. So we're using meditation as a science, and we're still able to enjoy its benefits of great mental relaxation.
Could you talk about for a moment the will and its role in this discussion? Because even as we talk about the winter solstice and preparing for it, it sounds to me, based on what you're sharing, is that all throughout the year, we are preparing for the winter solstice. It's just a matter of are we preparing consciously or unconsciously, because it sounds like those 4 days, whatever you've been thinking, if you're not, for example, if you're not conscious of the fact that the winter solstice, these 4 days are as powerful as they are, and you just kind of just roll through them like any other week or any other, you know, 4 day period, you're going to get what you always got. But if you go in preparing to succeed, understanding that the goal of the winter solstice is, and that these thoughts, these images, these practices, these techniques that you're using are for the basis of becoming a divine being, and that you will see the manifestation of what it is that you indulged in during those 4 days, what you allowed your mind to, you know, to dwell on during those 4 days, what you either consciously directed or just did not direct, and as a result of not taking control of and preparing to succeed. You know, there's a saying, if you don't prepare to succeed, you're going to prepare to fail. But if you consciously say, okay, I'm going into this with the mindset of doing better, letting go of some things this year or starting some things this year that I need to do so that I can consciously direct my life towards being the divine being that I was put here to be, then I can optimize this 4-day window so that I can actually see results in the upcoming year.
Well, that's an excellent, excellent question. The purpose of the Osirian initiation and the Ra initiation systems is so that we can gain dominion over this earth plane, this earth body, this earth vessel by awakening and exercising our divine faculties. And it all begins with the duality or the polarity of understanding the basis of who we are, meaning the structure of our and God's divine being, which is in the law of duality tells us that there is the will, which is our consciousness and our director of events and thoughts. But the will cannot enact anything because it doesn't have any energy. So it needs the spirit, what we also call the life force, the energy body, Ra, you've heard Kundalini, Chi, the Chi body. It needs energy in order for the will to be enacted. We call the energy part of our being the spirit. So meditation is our major practice of uniting the will, which is going to direct us to the things that we want in life and identify them and define them and describe them, with the spirit, which is the part of our being in charge of making it happen, because nothing happens without energy. And the spirit is most receptive during the winter solstice, but we use all year to prepare by participating in the Osirian initiation and Ra initiation. And I shouldn't say all year, because it takes many years. Initiation is to begin something. So the Medunater Volume 4 is a continuation of Medunater Volume 2, which was subtitled The Osirian Initiation. And Medunater Volume 4 actually has a curriculum. It has daily exercises. It has exercises per month beginning February to December to begin to inculcate the laws of our being so that the will can direct the energy towards that self-identification as a divine being. There are exercises that we do to examine our thoughts and to make the changes through the energy system and through meditation so that we can uplift the spirit to begin to manifest the divinity. And in 40 years, 45 years, you know, we've seen four generations of people who, by practicing the initiation, have begun to heal our illnesses, to have healthier family lives, to be able to identify by using the Ra initiation system exactly what energies are needed to live most successfully in different areas of life, so that you may need to participate in one set of energy principles on your job and then come home and participate in another set of energy principles altogether. And we use the winter solstice to then create a deeper foundation from which to enact these mind and spirit activities, the harmony, which is at its height during the winter solstice. So the systems of the initiation are what allow us throughout the year to prepare. And as you see, and as you mentioned, during this season, if commercialism is highlighted or spending beyond your means is highlighted, then you really do pay for that the rest of the year. But there's no time like the present. There's no time that's too short to begin to prepare for the winter solstice. If you give it a good week, if you give it a good 2 weeks, I mean, if that's what you have and you start to realize I can do something differently to enact a different success model in my life, then this is the perfect time to start.
You mentioned success, and could we talk for a moment about success and, quote, challenges, end quote, because someone might think that if they're experiencing challenges that they're not being successful. And if, for example, someone is planting seeds during the winter solstice, and, for example, let's say, for example, they come to the classes and they find out what energies they need to succeed in 2018, and they start working on those energies. Now, during the course of 2018, certain challenges arise. Challenges, and I'll put challenges in quotes and then put a slash behind it and say opportunities, okay? Challenges slash opportunities arise. They could assume that maybe they're not doing something right, or maybe they didn't do something right during the four-day window because now they're experiencing this challenge or slash opportunity. Could you define that? Just so that, and put that in a picture for us so that people understand that just because you might experience an opportunity, I'll say that, does not mean that you're not being successful or necessarily that you're doing something wrong. You may be doing something wrong, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you are doing something wrong. You may be doing something right, and the challenge is presented to you as the law of Auster states to help you grow, that nothing and no one can be against you, but that all experiences come to you for your reclamation of peace, that you may acquire spiritual power.
Well, I'm so glad you asked that, because it's a two-pronged solution, one of which is that whenever we begin our classes and we teach in a series of classes that can be independently taken, so that if you can't make all five, we have the ability that you can take away something that you can apply immediately and feel more successful. But when we talk about success, we're talking about the paradigm of unending happiness. And we start with the master law of the 11 laws of God. And the master law is Amen, A-M-E-N, the word Amen, that is representing a peace that nothing in your life or anyone else's life in this world can disturb. It's a peace that we are made in the image and likeness of, and we hold that as our identity, so that everything that we practice shows us how peaceful we can be. And when we see that we're responding to something that we may label as a challenge or an opportunity, then we know that it is a diagnostic tool to allow us to perfect that response with peace. And so the practices that we learn will allow us to do that. But the second prong is the value of community. And not necessarily a physically geographic community, although when you're in touch with other people who are going through this initiation process, then you understand you get to learn about their challenges and opportunities and how they are learning to respond to them with peace. And you have physical examples, but even if you're part of the online learning community and there are online forums, and you can reach out to people in other parts who are going through the same initiation, then you're able to leverage your practicing of peace and your desire to perfect your divine nature by always remembering, even if you're not enacting it at that very moment, you still have the concept that is gonna, you're going to meditate on it. It's going to your will. It's going to impregnate your spirit with the concept that you are a peace, that nothing can shatter. And as you continue to deep breathe and as you continue to meditate and do your yoga and your qigong, you're going to see it unfold in front of your eyes so that you look back and you say, wow, something that used to cause tension, or not cause tension, because nothing causes tension, but something that I used to respond with tension to, doesn't even cause bombs at all. I'm at peace in this situation or with this person. So we're able to begin with the master law so that just the concept that we're made in the image and likeness of a peace that nothing can shatter is a lodestar that we can cling to. And like I said before, the exercises that we do is to identify those moments when we don't respond with peace and use meditation to relive the same scenario so that we will, and use other types of meditation, focusing meditation, minute meditation, the meditation systems, so that we can actually see empirical evidence in our lives. And it doesn't even take a very long time. So coming to the classes online or coming to the classes in the areas allows you to bond with a community of people who then begin, you're feeling part of an effort and a wave that will allow you to ask questions. Well, how did you manifest? How would you manifest your peace in this situation when so-and-so was happening and so-and-so was happening? And somebody says, oh, that just happened to me last week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's both the teachings and the practice in community that allow us to keep the systems fresh and keep them real as to what's really happening in people's lives, so that our paradigm can change and we begin to see that everything is designed in our destiny, in our lives, to unfold us to our divine destiny, our identifying as a divine being. So we look then for how is this helping me to get there?
Mm-hmm. You know, you said something that made me think about something you mentioned, you know, just being a part of a community or having access to other people that are going through the initiations with you, and you can bounce ideas off of them, share experiences with them. Okay, oh, you're experiencing this too. You can relate to what I'm saying. How would you deal with this situation? Could you talk for a moment, just even then, about the importance of people understanding that this is a growth process. Nobody is expecting anybody else to be perfect. We're all here growing together, because a lot of times people withhold their experiences for fear that they'll be judged. You know, they're fearful that someone will look at them and think that they don't have it together, you know, if they share that this is what I'm experiencing, you know. And so a lot of times people, you know, we have this thing where we don't want to, quote, tell our business, you know what I mean? We don't want people
Absolutely.
To know that we don't have it all together. We don't want people to know that, yeah, you know, I just got ticked off the other day about something, and I know I shouldn't have went there, but I went there, you know. And a lot of times people don't want other people to know. They think people are going to judge them like, you went there? You actually went
mm-hmm.
there? You know, it's like, yeah, I went there, you know. People don't want to share and open up because of fear of being judged. Could you talk about the growth process, and that we're all here growing, you know, nobody's got it all together, and you're going to grow from these experiences if they are met with peace. Could you talk about growth for a minute?
Well, one of the things that we have such exemplars of compassion, starting at the top with our Shekhar Meshach Amram Nephram and the royal family, the Nesuitu, all of our kings and queen mothers in the society. We have such royal examples of compassion and accessibility, so that whether it's online and you're in a chat room or you're physically in a class, we use our experiences. Remember, we're only going to be 45 next year, and we're resurrecting an ageless wisdom tradition that reached its peak thousands and thousands of years ago. So we take ourselves with a grain of salt. We absolutely understand that in Kemet, everyone was given the benefit of the doubt that the civilization, the cultural structure, was the realization of divinity. So everyone understood that that's what was being accomplished, and therefore understood what you personally had to go through, what your personal challenges were, what things, you know, really you had to work on, so that you knew when you saw someone else that you're so busy working on perfecting your own being that you really didn't have time to judge or worry about what someone else was doing, and that you found that there's strength in numbers so that you could lean on one another. Because when I say giving each other the benefit of the doubt, we know that we're all going to struggle and we're going to help lift each other up. So the value of community was that the growth process took years, you know, in incarnations, and because of the way that the material, the information, the ageless wisdom teachings are taught, we have that perspective. So it's nothing like an instant Western society. It's nothing, you know, disposable. It's nothing fast about it. And we understand that as we do our meditations and do our libations and talk to God personally and say, these are the things that I have, you know, need of learning to do better. These are the things that I have failed to do, but I'm going to do better. As we develop those intimate relationships with our divine self, then we are very compassionate about what anyone else might have to go through, because we actually understand that we each came here to perfect our divine journey in different ways. We're on different paths vis-a-vis just the fact that we're in a different human body. But we come together, and the way that we're able to share is very transformational, because people who even come for the first time to a meditation class, and we do the meditation, and then we share out. I mean, it's just amazing how many people are willing to open up and share and understand that transformation is a process and that we're all in it to win it, and we know that we have to be in it to win it together, right? That there before the grace of God go we. We have to be each other's supports. And it seems to come across not so much from the words and the lectures, but being together, meditating together, it really increases the bond, and it really opens you up to be able to share. And then the more you're in, you know, in the community to discuss things, you actually see that most of us are going through the same, what we all would call challenges. Many times we use them again to identify where the tension is, but we're honest about experiencing the tension so that we can use it as a diagnostic tool to create peace. So I, you know, it's witnessing it and sharing it, even like I said, in the online chat rooms, because people are growing, and these challenges today are very, very different from those in other places in the world and at other times that, you know, that this work has been done.
Everybody, I just want to give you an opportunity to speak with Sekhem Sa'ankh Tukunu Nebu. We're talking about the preparation for the winter solstice 2017. If you'd like to do that and you're listening on your phone, all you have to do is press 1. If you just wanted to say hi, please feel free to do that, okay? Don't be shy. If you're listening online, the call-in number is 347-324-5727. That's 347-324-5727. There's going to be some classes that are coming up in the Washington, D.C., at the Washington, D.C. Osiris Society on the winter solstice preparation classes. They're going to be starting in, well, actually, there's already been one class that was on the 2nd, and then there's going to be another class. There are going to be 3 more classes that you can attend, actually 2 more classes and a meditation. The next 2 classes are going to be on Saturday, December the 9th, and Saturday, December the 16th. And then on the 23rd, there's going to be a meditation. And if you've already subscribed to the online classes, you may attend any of these classes without charge. Otherwise, the classes, a charge for the class is $10 per class. Offered at the during the classes will be oracle readings will be available. You want to definitely know what energies you will need to succeed in 2018, and the readings will be available again on Saturdays from 12 to 4 p.m. Now, the classes on December the 2nd, I'm sorry, I'll start with the 9th, the 2nd's already gone, the 9th and the 16th start at 5:30 p.m., and they're from 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m., and they're going to be at the Synbeb Wellness Complex. That's at 6224 3rd Street in Washington, D.C., and the zip code there is 20011 in case you need to MapQuest it for whatever reason. And if you'd like more information, the telephone number to call is 202-630-2507. Again, the phone number for more information is 202-630-2507. Second, there are different topics that are going to be offered or taught at the classes. Could you discuss some of the topics that we'll be going over at the classes?
Yes, we will discuss the laws of being, establishing a relationship with God. One of the major rituals of the Osirian initiation is the Uchal Madu, which is the Maduna Ter Volume 7. It's an incredible ritual where you cultivate your relationship with God, and through a nightly declaration, and we call our declarations the declarations of freedom from sin, so that we are aware of what the perfection of the 11 laws of our being would look like. And when you mention the growth as a process, it's a process that we focus on the word initiation, that we're always beginning each new year. The cycle continues to spiral. So even though we may master some of our energetics and improve and establish new behaviors each year, then we are also learning that we have even more to perfect, ever more to perfect, and it's a wonderful adventure. So we're learning the meditation, we're learning deep breathing exercises, we're learning some asana positions, yoga positions that will strengthen our core and increase our fire. We are learning some qigong exercises that will improve our stamina, equilibrate our organ systems, and we're absolutely learning about a rejuvenation diet, which for the period leading up to the solstice and at least the next 6 to 12 days after the solstice, which some people refer to as the 12 days of Christmas, where we begin to gain insights and epiphanies about those seeds that we planted during the solstice, we follow it up, and we use a rejuvenation diet where we use principles of intermittent fasting. And by that, I simply mean that we'll eat a meal, We'll, you know, get 3/4 of 75% full, because we just don't want to become too full and have our body spend too much time digesting. But once we finish each meal, then for 4 hours minimum in between, we're only drinking water, and that's intermittent fasting. And it has to do with the regulation of insulin, the release of insulin when any food other than water is introduced into our body. And insulin suppresses our human growth hormone. And so the regulation of many hormonal systems depends on our observing what we call the fast feast system, so that we're just not eating anything. And we learn about eliminating for this period of time all sugar, all salt, depending. Some people will modify that with 1/4 to 1/8 of a teaspoon, but there's salt in everything. There's, we get an ample supply of sodium, but if those people need it, then that's modified. And we also learn about not eating after a certain time, so that we can really allow this intermittent fasting, let's say, to occur between 8 p.m. and 8 a.m. so that our body really is able to rest. We prescribe 9 to 10 hours of sleep during this period, because that's the only time that the body really rejuvenates. And of course, we're learning the meditation systems, the different focusing breathing, which has been proven to restore brain cells, to heal and energize the brain, MENEP meditation system, which creates a relaxation response, so that when we observe tension in our body, we can direct that body area to relax in meditation. And then lo and behold, in our waking state, it becomes automatic. Those are the types of things and we learn to write meditation scripts, because, as I said before, we're not using it just as a relaxation exercise, but we're actually using it to achieve goals in all areas of life. And so the script writing is an integral component of that.
Can you talk about, since you mentioned meditation, can you talk about trance for a moment? Because, I just find that it's interesting that trance is in the word transcend, you know. So if you could talk about just trance and its role in meditation, because trance has been given a bad rap. A lot of times when people think of trance, they think of something that's spooky. Could you debunk that and just talk about trance for a moment, what it is and why it's and how it can be used in meditation to effect behavior modification?
I'm so glad you asked that, because I meant to speak to it earlier, but when we talk about trance, we just have to look at our own daily activities. And so, you know, whatever we're doing, we're reading a book and we're reading along. And then we look down and we're at a page and we don't recall exactly what we read for the past couple of pages. So we think that, oh, our mind has wandered off, or, you know, we're driving home a route that we take a million of times, and we remember starting off to get home, and then when we arrive, we're not, you know, how did we make this left, make this right? It's not always fully conscious. And all day, every day, our bodies and our spirit energy goes into these moments we call daydreaming, right? And so everyone experiences trance naturally as part of the biorhythm of our body. And what we realize when we study the science of the spirit is that we have an opportunity to take those moments and use our will to create success by determining what we want to implement during those states that are referred to as trance. And we use meditation when we're able to sit still and go into trance. But a lot of exercises, one-pointedness exercises, satipatthana, where, you know, we know that we have a goal, and if we are able to cultivate the ability to focus on goal, then one of the tenets is that our thoughts lead our energy. We call it the yi, the yi, our thoughts, ideas, lead our chi. The yi leads the chi. So that throughout the day, since it's a natural occurrence that we're going in and out of different states of awareness, which is referred to as trance, if we determine that we're going to focus on accomplishing one objective, then we can take that natural state of going, you know, into different levels of consciousness, and we can always redirect it in our waking state while we're driving, while we're sweeping, while we're reading, and say, okay, this is what I'm going to focus on today. So we use it as leverage to implement our will, because our spirit is that receptive that we can actually get in the car and know that we're going to drive home, and not at every single light and say, this, I got to make this turn, I got to, you know, it's not a fully conscious all the time decision, and we experience it over and over again throughout the day. So we take the opportunity of that natural occurrence and begin to use it by directing it to our purposes.
How many issues should a person, because, you know, we come to, we come to this information at various stages in our life. You know, somebody may come to this information when they doing pretty well in life. I mean, they might be doing pretty well. They might be in a, you know, happy relationship, you know, making good money, you know, doing, I mean, they, by all, you know, accounts, people would say that they're quote, end quote, successful. And you might have other people that come to this information, and by other people's accounts, they might look at their life and say their life is really jacked up, and, you know, they came to this information, you know, just in time. But in, we all have different stuff that we have to work on. How many issues would it be advisable for a person, or how many seeds would it be advisable for a person to take, I guess, to plant during this this season? Because, of course, the expectation is that, you know, we'll be here next year, and we can, you know, whatever we don't get to this year, we can get to next year. But is it a situation where you can overdo it? You can plant too many seeds, and or is it better to just work on maybe one or two things that you know you need to stop doing, or maybe one or two things that you need to start doing? Because a lot of times when people acknowledge the fact that we need to change, that we need to get better, we try to do it all at one time. You know what I mean? So would it be advisable to try to plant all the seeds at one time? It's kind of a rhetorical question. Or would it be advisable to take one or two things to work on those things, and whatever you, you know, just take it a little bit at a time, as opposed to trying to eat the whole loaf at one setting?
Well, if that's a relative question, depending on, you know, the person's, you know, how much they've used meditation as a spiritual science, how much stamina they have to be able to accomplish certain things. Some people are really good at multitasking, and others are really good at just doing one thing in a sequential order before they do the next. So the prescription would be the order of priority, would be how important, how interdependent and dependent they are. So, for instance, if you had a very serious health situation and you also needed employment, well, you would focus on healing so that you could then secure better employment. But and so we would look at prioritizing with the meditation scripts, but it again is relative to how much practice that each individual has had, how much stamina, and how much time. If you have to go to work, is a different scenario than if you are fully free for the 4 days, two of which this year are on a Saturday and a Sunday, the 23rd and 24th. And for those people who have to work that Thursday and Friday, they can actually, they're still in the energy cycle to practice some of the solstice on the 25th, because to get that momentum of the 3 days if they have to work that Thursday and Friday. But it's truly a relative question. We would assist with the meditation scripts to focus on those things that were dependent first on happening before other things could happen. But there's an unlimited opportunity because it's not a very long time once the scripts have been memorized that you have to really see the visualization of success. So you really can get a lot in, and this is it's the absolute best time of the year to get it all in.
Could you talk about me time for a moment? A lot of times people in life find themselves in just the day-to-day living of life that can be difficult, it appears, to find time to get away. You could take somebody, for example, a mother, you know, who's, you know, could be a single mother or maybe married and just, you know, have to deal with the household, you know, dealing with the, you know, the issues just relating to being married. You know, you got to make time for your husband, you got to make time for your children, and you got to go to work, then you got to, you know, do so many things. Or, and it could be a man with the same situation. And people need time to be able to just get away and to find some space, a place where they can just relax and, you know, just get away from everybody. This seems like an optimal time, the perfect time to actually get away, to actually unwind and to unwind with a purpose. Could you talk about that?
Well, it's so perfect a time. This heightened receptivity during the solstice that you actually can get so much out of whatever amount of time you can devote to it. And so part of the community effort is to assist mothers with children, fathers with children. Families will rotate so that the children will be in one space this day or half a day or 2 hours. One of the preparations that I may have failed to mention during up to the solstice is that we eliminate media as well. I talked about food and salt and sugar, but we eliminate media so that if we just turn the radio off for half an hour or the television off for half an hour and meditate instead of that time, when we feel that we're just relaxing and we're sitting watching something that we don't have to really pay attention to, if we use that time and we transfer it over to me time, then this is the best type of selfishness to work on your true divine self. So sharing with others some of the responsibilities of family life. No, you can't, you know, stop feeding the children and
right.
and transferring, you know, sharing the family time with other willing individuals, as well as eliminating the media that is truly used as a distraction this time of year. All of the sales that started off being a day and now they're a week or a month or 2 months. We can find such time as we begin to devote ourselves to our divine self-resurrection, because as we've heard a biblical phrase, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. If we manage to get a little leverage and create momentum in resurrecting our divine self-identity, then we get more energy to do more of the things that will assist us in stamina, in vitality, in the information that we need just showing up. You know, we don't even know how, we weren't even looking for it. We run across something and it's like, wow, this is just what I needed. So once we start experiencing those kinds of successes, then we become more determined to make time for our divine self-cultivation. And we start with each other. We start with sharing and, you know, encouraging and supporting one another in those efforts.
I oh my God, this is going to be an awesome, awesome series of classes, everybody, that I want to tell you about again. Chuckum, do you have a few more minutes? I hate to let you go. I've been waiting so long for this show. Do you have a few more minutes?
I actually, we're planning Kwanzaa.
Okay.
So
all right.
Have
all right. Can I get one more question?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Okay. Thank you. That is just, you mentioned relationships, that
mm-hmm.
you're going to be teaching on relationships. And could you just briefly talk about what people can expect to get out of that when they come? Because they're coming.
Well, we're actually having, I'm so glad you asked that, because we're having a relationships conference, I believe, and I have to get the dates right, but it's in June. And we had one last year. It was phenomenal. We had classes for singles, classes for, you know, they were male only, they were female only, they were male and female together, single, married. Right now we're teaching some of the roles and responsibilities and preparation, readiness for relationships, and exactly, well, redefining what relationships are, the whole cultural model. You know, you go to different countries and you see totally different interactions. Sisterhoods are intact. You know, male bonding is totally different. It looks different, right? And then, of course, the family comes out of those relationships and marriages, and the stability in society is created. So we put a lot of time into preparing on the front end. And, again, it's all part of the compassion and healing that we know we need to afford to one another. And, again, I can't say enough, our leadership, they model a family. Everyone feels nurtured. Everyone feels loved. Everyone, you know, knows that they have a father who is, you know, really caring and caring for the whole family. So we have excellent models. And we have seen that the teachings that we're resurrecting over the past 45 years have really stabilized our communities for generations. And we're seeing the fruit of those generations who are now, you know, the youth joining the priesthood, the youth having their own children and observing our rituals. So that's the relationship, the family, the basic unit of the nation. But, you know, a spiritually divine relationship is a totally different paradigm. And, again, based on peace that nothing can shatter.
Chuckum, I really want to thank you for taking the time to be my special guest today. Everybody, again, the workshops are going to be the next several Saturdays. Well, not the next several Saturdays. Well, it is the next several Saturdays. Actually, the 9th, okay, that would be this Saturday upcoming, and the 16th, all right? So you want to make sure those classes are $10. This is winter solstice preparation classes, and on Saturday the 23rd, there's going to be a meditation. Now, if you subscribe to the online classes, okay, you can attend the actual physical, the meditation, the other classes without charge, okay? So you can also find out there are going to be oracle readings available. You need to know what energies you need to succeed in 2018. Okay, you need to know. It's not that. That's not a question. It's a statement. You need to know what energies you need to succeed in 2018. And the readings are going to be, again, from on Saturdays from 12 to 4 p.m. And classes begin at 5:30, and that's from 5:30 to 7 p.m., and that's going to be at the Synbeb Wellness Complex in Washington, D.C. That's 6224 3rd Street, Northwest Washington, D.C. If you're in Baltimore, come on down. Really, you will not regret it. You will definitely benefit from it. And if you like more information, the telephone number to call is 202-630-2507. Again, that's 202-630-2507. 2507. Children allowed, Shechem, another rhetorical question, Shechem. I know that oftentimes when there are people who might just, you know, I want to go, but I got these babies. Will there be any care for the children if somebody brings children?
Well, the children actually, you know, we've had children just play quietly in the back of the classroom. We don't have additional child care services, but we want to encourage families to come, and so they really accommodated us well, and some of them just fall asleep, and then they just get it into their spirit subliminally. But I can't thank you enough. This opportunity always to dialogue with you is one that is so appreciated and so welcome and so enjoyable. I love the questions, and
I
welcome
answer.
Every opportunity. Thank you. Duana Tare. Duana Tare. Yes.
That's it. Thank you so much, Shechem. Everybody, that is Shechem Sahantaku Nenebu, and we've been honored to have her on. This is like the third Winter Solstice show that we've done with her. There are other shows in the archives. I want to encourage you to go down the archives, and you will see shows with her and other members of the Osara Set Society. I have been truly, truly blessed. Shechem, I know you said that you had another engagement to attend, so I won't hold you. I'll say hetep to you. If you'd like to stay on, you may. If not, I understand. But I just have to acknowledge several people because it's been an awesome, awesome experience for me just being able to interview the members of the Osara Set Society that I've had the opportunity of interviewing, starting, of course, with Shechem Shechem, Dr. Rao Nefer Amen the First. I've been very, very pleased to have had the opportunity to sit and speak with him, doing interviews with him, and it's truly been rewarding. And just I want to say, and that you're rocking. Thank you, Shechem Shechem, for the wisdom that you brought to us. Also, we've done series with Orwa, Dr. Orwa, Hehi Metorion Comet. For those of you who are listening, again, all you have to do is just scroll down the archives and you'll see all of these shows. And by the way, you can join, I guess, Juwanza for Life, for lack of a better term. Follow the show is actually the term. You can follow the show. And if you do, you will be notified every time I do a show. So every time there's a show, you will be notified of that show. You'll be notified of the date, the time, and you can kind of prepare for it. So all you have to do in order to get that information is to follow the show. Yes, Dr. Orwa Hehi Metorion Comet has been a regular on Health, Wealth, and Divine, and we've done shows on the seven divisions of the spirit, the 11 laws of God, the Asante model. We've done shows on God Knows Best, discussing the I Ching. Just all of this is in the archives, so all you have to do is just scroll down the archives, and you'll see these shows. Other, we just recently did a show with Queen Mother Mashtaam Amen. That was an awesome, very, very powerful show on the Het Haru Healing Line Dance. So that's in the archives. Also, I've done shows with Orwa Amtahudi Kamo. We did a show recently on Kemetic Spirituality. That's in the archives. You want to check that out. Brother Shechem, oh, man. Hekshem Suheru, Shechem Meir Nater has been a regular on the show. We've done shows on the different the solstices, the equinoxes, I mean, Menab meditation, I mean, the Ra and Osirian initiations. All of these shows are in the archives, and all you have to do to take advantage of them and to listen to them is to scroll down the archives, and you'll be able to hear those shows. We've done shows on the installment of Queen Mother Hemshechem Thanekem Nerta and Comet. That's in the archives. Very, very powerful show. We did a show with a brother that was so powerful. Got another brother I want to give acknowledgement to. That is Kitab Kim Ma'a. We did a show with him on Ra Qigong. Awesome, awesome show. That's in the archives. So I'm encouraging you, I'm telling you about these shows so that you can go and listen to them and to share them. Done a series of shows with Shechem Meta Uneta on Qigong, five energy, five animal energy balancing Qigong with Shekha Metta Aneta. That was an awesome series, and I'd like to get back with him and do another series with him because that was so powerful. I got to mention also Shechem Tepraim Sa'a. You talk about a powerful brother with a lot of insight, a lot of wisdom and knowledge. That's a brother who, if you go down and you listen to those shows, you'll sit there, and after you finish, you're going to listen to it again. We've talked about Qigong. We've talked about focusing on the family. I mean, again, these shows are in the archives, so please check those out. Again, and I have to mention, and my heart gets, you know, little, you know, when I mention this brother's name, I did a series with him, several series with him, on Bazi Astrology, Atef, Sunnu Parag Keparang. We've done shows on Bazi Astrology. That was what we talked about when he came on. We've talked about Bazi as it relates to relationships, Bazi as it relates to your success, Bazi is how can Bazi help me find my calling, Bazi in parenting, you know, Bazi insights, Bazi the I Ching and beyond. We've talked about Bazi. We've looked at Bazi charts of Muhammad Ali. We looked at Bazi charts of Whitney Houston. We looked at Bazi charts of Prince. All of these shows are in the archives, and I just encourage you to go scroll down the archives and listen to those shows as well. I've got to give a shout out to Orwat, Tichazaran Comet, Orwat Shemsu Ma'at. I've got to give a shout out to Shechem Newsom Bidet, also Kesa Tayab and Shechem Ma'at Tepikam. And I want everybody to know as well that if you like this information, I've got to plug Tawi Blog Talk. If you like this information, if you're not familiar with Tawi, that's T like Tom, A-U-I, Blog Talk Radio, you have to check out that station as well. That's Shechem and Shechem station, and he goes, just go over there and check it out. That's all I got to say. Just go over there and check it out, and you'll be blessed. So yeah. I want to thank everybody for your time. Shechem, you still with us?
I just wanted to say we have to, we talked about ordering the online classes, but I would like to give them the number to the Dowie office because that is the ordering process, as well as going online to DowieNetwork.com to order the classes for the winter solstice preparation, which are bundled with classes after the winter solstice for committed success in the year 2018. So if I might be able to give the number to the Dowie office is 718-469-3199, and that's Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m., or go online to Dowie Network, T-A-U-I Network, .com to order the classes online.
So they call 718-469-3199 by phone if they wanted to order it online. If they wanted to go online, then that's the Tawi Network, T-A-U-I Network. Did you say .com?
.com, yes.
.com.
To order.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again. I didn't know you were still with us. Thank you so much again. I have to rock to you, sister. Thank you for everything that you've done.
Peace and blessings. Hetepoo.
Hetepoo.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Everybody, that, again, was Shechem Tsa'angtaku Nenebu. Again, please take an opportunity and scroll down the archives and check out these shows that I've mentioned. Again, you can follow the show. It's Jawanza for Life. You can follow it, and you'll be notified every time we do a show. And, again, let me give the information concerning the workshop in D.C. It's not actually the workshop, but the series of classes that will culminate in the meditation on December the 23rd. Okay? There were four classes. They've already done one. That was on December the 2nd. So you have the 9th. That's Saturday the 9th, Saturday the 16th, and there will be a meditation on Saturday, December the 23rd. There are going to be oracle readings available. You need to find out what energies you need to succeed in 2018, okay? Readings are from 12 to 4 p.m., and the classes begin at 5:30. That's going to be from 5:30 until 7 p.m. The address is the Simbeb Wellness Complex at 6224 3rd Street in Northwest Washington, D.C. That zip code there is 20011, in case you need to MapQuest it. And if you'd like more information, please call 202-630-2507. So I have one request for everybody that's listening. That request is only this: share this link, okay, with somebody that you know that might not have been able to listen to it, okay? Because whether you attend the classes, the set of classes in D.C. or not, the information that was given today by Shekem Sa'antukunenebu goes far beyond D.C., okay? This information is for everybody. This information can benefit if you're in Atlanta. This information can benefit if you're in Europe. This information can benefit you if you're in Africa, okay? So just share the link, okay? That's all. I shared it with you. All I ask is that you share it with somebody else, okay? My name is Juwanza. Thank you so much for your time. I always say you could be doing something else, but instead you chose to spend the time with myself and my special guest, Shekem Sa'antukunenebu. Everybody, have a wonderful evening. Thank you again for your time. Who am I? My name is Juwanza. I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Who are you?